Welcome to Bible Talk. It's a podcast where we read the Bible
and then we talk about it. Verse 41 of John chapter 6. At this time, the Jews began to grumble about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven." Mm. They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I've come down from heaven'? This is the kid from the manger," right? Verse 43, "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father, except the one who is from God." And that would be Jesus. "Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life, and I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the desert, yet they died. Mm. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, and he who feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue Capernaum.
Wow. Okay. There's a lot there, starting with the fact that they immediately begin to question whether or not Jesus is being truthful here, because they're like, look, we know this dude's parents. Mm-hmm. How can he say that he came down from someplace when we know for a fact he has a mother and father here on the earth? We know where he was born.
Sure. So you see the limited understanding based on preconceived notions. Like, because things have always worked this way, or I've always understood it this way,
right,
it must be the only way that it can ever be or that it can ever work.
Yes.
And that obviously has flaws in it, because if mm-hmm. you would have told someone 100 years ago that they were going to be able to talk to someone else who's in a whole nother city with a piece of plastic that they pull out of their pocket.
Right, yes.
They would have told you that can't happen because it's never happened that way before.
Right.
And so getting stuck in preconceived notions, we all do it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's what the Pharisees are doing here.
It limits Jesus our ability.
Is not trying to walk them out of it easily. He is going right after it and saying things that are really hard to hear.
Yes, very hard to hear. And I think even us who now have a greater understanding of who Jesus is, have a hard time wrapping our minds around the idea of drinking his blood and eating his flesh. And I can't even imagine, you know, once he goes into that, talking about the bread from manna and, you know, or the bread from heaven and manna, how absolutely confusing that would have been, you know.
So, then he tells them to stop grumbling among themselves, because that's in verse 43. He knows that they've had this comment amongst themselves, isn't this Jesus, whose parents we know, right? And Jesus says in verse 44 something that I think is quite standout.
Yes.
No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Mm. What do you think that means?
Well, I think that just like there was an appointment of the Samaritan woman, which we talked about several podcasts ago, she had an appointment. She might not have been aware of it, but God sets up these opportunities in order for us to be given the chance to respond to him, to respond to Jesus, and to have real faith, and to be saved by way of that faith, you know. And so the idea of us being able to save ourselves, it's just false. God is always working and always a part of the equation, and is always setting up these appointments, whether we're aware of them or not, so that we can meet Jesus.
So that's what he's referring to then, you think, when he says the Father draws them?
I don't know.
Not sure?
That's my guess.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's we're just talking about the Bible,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Some may look at this and think, well, that just essentially means that God's already decided who he wants to be saved.
Right, predestination.
Predestined,
right.
And therefore some people, God's just not going to draw them, and they're,
right,
they're toast. There's nothing they can do about it.
Right.
That doesn't seem consistent with everything we've seen just
mm-hmm.
here in the book of John.
Right, exactly.
Where he seems to want to gather and not condemn and not keep people out. He's trying to build and draw people near.
Right.
But I think, so here's my take.
Yeah.
Right? Bible talk. How does God draw people? God draws people through his word.
Right.
Right? God does draw people through their life circumstances, the
mm-hmm.
things that they go through.
Yes.
Sometimes miraculous responses in many of the situations we've seen here in the book of John. God will draw people through occurrences, miracles.
Right.
Divine coincidences, right? If there can be such a thing as a divine coincidence. But
yeah.
These things intrigue people. These things perk them up. It gets their attention and
yes.
draws them toward Jesus. Sometimes we go through awful, miserable times and we recognize my life is out of control.
Right. Absolutely.
I can't do this. I'm the captain of this ship and this ship is...
It's going down.
It's going down.
Right.
I've got this thing crashed up against the rocks.
If I could fix this, I wouldn't be in this situation.
I am ready to listen to another perspective. And so there are a lot of ways that
mm-hmm.
God can draw people, but it's not until they get drawn. So here's my take. God wants all to become saved and have a knowledge of the truth. This we find
right.
in other parts of the Bible. It's not until they feel drawn
yep.
that they're going to come to Jesus. Until they perceive that they're drawn in.
Agree.
Talking to them about Jesus
mm-hmm.
is off-putting even.
Yeah, it can be offensive.
They'll see it as offensive or off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we don't know. People don't wear signs on their forehead that say, hey,
I'm open to Jesus now.
Yeah. Right.
Although that'd be great.
It would be. But look, all we can do is try to be a part of the way that God draws people. Once they're drawn, they'll come to Jesus.
Right.
We might get a chance to be a part of what draws them. And that's
mm-hmm.
where we come in when it comes to sharing our faith, making disciples.
Right.
But it takes the pressure off of you, too. Because if you go out and share your faith with somebody or invite them to church or ask them if they want to get into a Bible study or try to open up a dialogue about what they believe about, you know, Jesus, and they're not open to it, we could feel like, oh, I blew it, I failed, that wasn't
right.
any good. And that's not the case at all.
Mm-mm.
What you found is someone who doesn't feel drawn
right.
at that snapshot in time.
Yes.
Maybe other things will transpire in their life, and at that point they'll feel drawn. But at the moment you shared with them, they weren't drawn. That's not your fault. That's not your responsibility. It's not until they're drawn
yes.
that they're going to come to Jesus.
Which takes the pressure off for me, because essentially it just means it's not about me. I can open my mouth and I can share, but just like you said, you know, God is going to draw who he draws, and people don't wear signs, you know. all you can do is share Jesus. And if they're being drawn, then they'll have a response that reflects that, you know.
All right. So, verse 45, it's written to the prophets, right?
Yeah.
They will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. That little quote that Jesus is giving
in
verse 45 comes from Isaiah chapter 54.
Right.
He says, hey, look, you're going to be taught. Isaiah told you, you're going to be taught by God. And now here I am teaching you.
Yes.
Right? If you're being taught by me, that is, in essence, you being taught by the Father. That you listening to me is listening to the Father. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. And I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. Now, learn from me, and you are learning from God. This had to be really hard for them to hear.
Oh, my goodness. So hard to hear.
It's either going to deepen their conviction that he's a blasphemer, or it was going to perhaps help them see that prophecy from Isaiah in a different light.
Like, right.
Oh, these preconceived notions that I have, like it could only happen this way. Maybe my preconceived notion was wrong. You ever have like something that's not fitting quite? And so you kind of try to bang it into place, you kind of jam it in there.
Yes.
Right? And so Jesus has a lot of jarring, banging things here.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps in part it's because he is trying to help a hard-hearted people who are just set to put God in a box, and the only ways that God can work are in a square fashion.
Right.
And he's trying to fit something round in there by saying things that might cut off a few edges to the box.
Yes.
So anyway, I am the bread of life, right? He doubles down on that. And then he gets into some of the hardest language.
Yes.
And this will take up the rest of our time. Eat my body.
Yeah.
Drink my blood.
Right.
What's he getting at there?
I think what they understood was sacrifice. I mean, he's speaking in the synagogue. It was during a period of time in the history of God's people where temple worship and sacrifice.
Flesh is getting sacrificed. Blood is being spilled.
Absolutely. And so I think, you know, the whole reason for those sacrifices was for atonement in some way, you know, and for him to equate himself with atonement and forgiveness was, again, a whole nother level of blasphemy. So I think what he's getting at here is trying to help them to understand by using the language that they didn't just speak, but they heard and they experienced on a regular basis. You know, I am here to offer myself completely for the atonement and forgiveness of sin.
Yeah, he's setting himself up as a sacrifice of atonement. His flesh, his blood are going to be given. And when he's saying you have to eat my flesh, drink my blood, right? We do that at communion.
Right.
We understand it's not really Jesus' flesh, and it's not really Jesus' blood, although there are some traditions that believe it has somehow magically or spiritually transubstantiated into those things once we're taking it. But Jesus is speaking about bread. He's speaking about body. He's speaking about water. All of these things are metaphorical.
Right.
Right? In John chapter 4, water, metaphorical. John chapter 5, bread, metaphorical. John chapter 6, eat my body and blood.
Flesh and blood, right.
Flesh and blood. Again, metaphorical. He's not saying, hey, come take a bite out of my forearm.
Right.
Yeah. He is speaking that I am it.
Yeah.
I am it. I am the atonement sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's getting at when he talks about the body and the blood here. And how if they're going to have a part in the Father, they're going to have to get that part through Jesus' atonement. His real food, his real blood, his real drink,
right.
Which is his flesh.
We will have to utterly consume him. And I think that is always a really convicting point to me when I hear language like this. The idea of, again, what am I consuming on a regular basis? And the idea of consuming Jesus in order that I will take him into my life and bear the fruit that he longs for me to bear, that it's necessary for me to bear, to be a kingdom person. I just think that's really significant. The language is beautiful, but it's no less challenging, I think.
Yeah. So just to, you know, clear it up, clean it up, what Jesus is getting at here is, I am the atoning sacrifice.
Right.
You have eternity, you have atonement through me.
Yes. Fantastic. Great episode. Thanks again for joining us. And as always, the reminder is,
do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says.